and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 528. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today for the third time this morning, it's Rick Cowley.
Hello, hello. We will get it right this time.
We will, if the internet allows it. A few technical issues this morning, ladies and gentlemen. But we're pulling through. We're getting them all out of the way now because we've got the Pocket Gamer Kinetics Conference next week. PGC Helsinki is kicking off, so go to pgkinetics.com and you'll be able to sign up and get involved in the conference. And obviously, that's a fully online, Zoom-based affair. And we need to make sure we get all of our gremlins out of our system now so it doesn't crash when someone very big and important is doing a talk. In truth, it's been very good for the past few conferences we've done. We haven't had huge issues. And errors, and they've been a good time, and we keenly encourage you to come in and get involved. But it does mean that this will be the last podcast for a fortnight, so we won't be doing next week because we'll be busy up to our ears in hundreds of speakers from all around the world chatting mobile. So we're going to give you some good stuff this week just to compensate. We have got news about PUBG finally coming onto mobile. You thought you were playing PUBG up till now? No. Now the real deal is here. We got information about Star Trek Fleet Command's latest update. We're going to tell you how to play Pac-Man in the street. Chasing pigeons, probably. We've got a whole bunch of new releases also, including the likes of World's End Club, which I find very difficult to say, The Unfinished Swan, Paco Caravan, Golf Odyssey, Olo Loco, Crux a Climbing Game, and more. But first, it's the news. You've been playing PUBG on your mobile for, I don't know, years at this point? We say 2-3 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's out today. What I mean to say is the PUBG Mobile 1.0 update is now available. And when it goes from the 0.something to the 1.something, that means the game is officially out of beta, which apparently it's been in since we launched, or they launched. I'm claiming credit for PUBG, by the way. I launched that game. That was me.
Your player unknown?
Oh, no,
so many
I'm
things
known.
Now make sense.
I'm now known. Damn it, I'm also Banksy. Yeah, so this has come with a few announcements about, like, here's the stuff we've changed over the past 2-3 years. Some small stats for you. Frame rate, they're up 30%. Lag is down 76%. And apparently the installation size has been shrunk down a bit as well. So it's a bit more petite for your phones. But it's got some actual real stuff as well. So with this 1.0 update, they've changed the Erin Gull area. They've altered the terrain, the building layouts, scenery, trenches, barricades, and bunkers all been added. And so if you sign in and play the game, you might notice some differences. Otherwise, it's been the gradual creep of improvements and whatnot. And according to your articles, Rick, over on PG Biz, they've had a pretty good couple of months, money-wise.
There is probably an explanation in the fact that there is a certain game missing that would be its main competitor, which you can no longer play on iOS and struggle to play on Android.
Other Battle Royale games? I didn't know there were any, Rick. Yeah, so Fortnite's
there
been
kicked in
the teeth.
There is only PUBG Mobile and Free Fire.
Yeah, so that's all there is now. So this is the golden time for PUBG, because PUBG started it all off. It was the big thing. Then Fortnite came in and kind of just like stuck its boot right in and overtook. And now, at least on mobile, it's got a lot more space to maneuver now. So perhaps all the kids will be playing PUBG again. If you are a Trekkist, a Trekker, a Trekkie, you may have been playing Star Trek Fleet Command, which has been ticking along for a couple of years as well. And although I played it when it first came out, I went, all right, fine, I get what this is. This is another one of those do some missions, ships around the universe, build stuff up, free to play, come back every day. One of those kind of things, which, to be honest, it's not really my bag, but it's been doing very well for its creators, Scopely, and continues to be updated. And they've just slung in some discovery business. We were talking before about relative Trek interest, and I am a Trek person. I like my Trek. Sci-fi is good. You said you were sort of somewhat lukewarm, but it's your mum who's the Trekker.
My mum's massively into Star Trek. I don't think she's watched it in a while, actually, thinking about it. But she was really into Next Generation especially, and Voyager as well as that. And I used to watch it with her. But I've always wanted to get back into it and watch like the new series and stuff. But it's just not enough time. There's too many episodes of Hell's Kitchen to watch first.
Oh, God. I'm not going to... No, I can't. I can't start in on this.
You don't like Hell's Kitchen? You don't like the amazing output of Gordon Ramsay?
I kind of hate him and everything.
What?
Oh, come on. It's just like, as with all, we can't get into it. No, I'm not going to talk about the awfulness of the ritual humiliation of really bad reality shows and how fake and stagey it all is. No, gross. I'd rather watch scripted content. And
it's
in the case,
the same thing.
No, it's not. In the case of, well, it kind of is. You're right, but it's this is good. It's got more ray guns in it. Sharp. So Discovery has been very hit and miss in terms of the TV series. I think lots of good stuff in there, and lots of maybe not so good stuff too. But the game itself, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. It's called the Discovery Arc, part of the new Battle Pass, and you get to unlock resources, including, of course, the USS Discovery ship, which, if you haven't watched the show, does a kind of weird rotates 180 and then blips out of existence, and it's powered by fungus mainly. It's kind of it goes through the mycelial network, Rich, which, if you are a Brian Fuller fan, you'll realize has actually appeared in other things. So I'm doing a rewatch of Hannibal, which is his series, right? And amongst other things. And he gets hired for having really weird, interesting ideas, and then he gets fired for implementing those very same weird, interesting ideas. And if there's an episode of Hannibal, and if you're squeamish, close your ears, people. Hannibal's kind of a grim show anyway, and it's art horror and all that. There's a killer, there's a guy who's going around, he's killing people, and he's kind of planting them in the ground and then pumping them full of stuff where I can't remember if they're actually dead. They might be kept alive, but in a coma vegetative state. And basically the idea is they unearth them all, and they're just, you know, the clickers in Last of Us, where they've just got fungus all over their body. Yeah, that. So he's kind of growing fungus, but they're all like linked together. And he talks about a mycelial network, the idea that spores and fungus and everything that grows in forests are actually all interconnected. And so there's like this giant brain that maps out for, in some cases, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of this one interconnected organism. And that's kind of what he does with Star Trek. He goes, all right, then you can travel via this interconnected network through space. So you can do that now in your app.
So it's M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
Ugh. Rick, I don't have time to talk about M. Night Shyamalan The Happening and how incredibly bad it is. So you also get new officers in the game. So Michael Burner will be turning up. Commander Saru, who is the MVP, clearly, who is Doug Jones, the guy who's in all of the Guillermo del Toro movies, the tall, thin guy who they put prosthetics Monster on. Man. Anytime you see someone in latex, 50-50, it's him. And he's brilliant and wonderful, and he's very good because he gets to do actual talking and acting in this, and is wonderful. You get additional anomaly events as well. I can't hear the word anomaly without thinking of Mass Effect. Wrong franchise. So if you're still playing the game, you get involved with that. And apparently this is the first time we've been outside of the Kelvin universe. So this means that potentially it opens up the door for like the stuff from Picard to come in, the Amazon series, which is not very good. And I guess anything else beyond the old JJ verse.
I believe like this is also the first time in any Star Trek game that it's had access to every single universe and license, I believe. So it's all Voyager, original, Next Generation, all that kind of stuff. It's the first game to ever have everything all in one place, so you can just choose all of them.
Crossing the canon streams.
Yeah.
According to DC, everything's multiverse now, so it doesn't matter. 12 Batmans in one film, Rick. Just like I always wanted. Okay, so perhaps you're sick of staying inside. Perhaps you're sick of staring at these same four walls over and over again. And you maybe want to walk out in a safe and sensible way with your mask on, for God's sake, people. Well, you might be able to do that and chase down little Pac-Man-y... What do we call them? What's the official... What's canon? Are they seeds? Are they
pellets, I think.
Okay, whatever. You can munch Pac-Man pellets on your street, thanks to Pac-Man Geo, which is a game coming to iOS and Android later this year. This is going to be Pac-Man Pokemon Go, or Pac-A-Man Go. Just imagine that, more a eel.
I don't know the gif.
Yeah, and there's a dog one as well. The one who's like said a good joke and they're waiting expectantly for the...
Oh.
That one.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Even that comment required the more a heel image. Sorry.
Pac-Man, but you go outside and you chase dots. That literally sounds like something people in the 80s were scared would happen to their kids if they played too much Pac-Man. They would then go crazy and start running around outside, like, chasing down imaginary dots. Yeah. And now it's reality and you can do it. And why?
It's come to pass, Rick. you too can hold a phone staring down, not paying attention to traffic, going bagga 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 at passers-by. So it's going to be using Google Maps to allow players to make their own stages. So perhaps rather than wandering around aimlessly, you get to actually go, all right, I'll choose this street and this thing, go. And then you're playing Pac-Man and you're wandering around and avoiding the ghosties. And they use a very strange location in the screenshots as an example. They've picked the Arc de Triomphe, the big suicide roundabout in the middle of Paris. It's like, all right, I mean, don't do it there, because you'll almost certainly die. Apparently, the development began back in 2018. I can see this working, but doesn't it involve panic and speed? That's my concern, right? Pokemon Go is something you can just idly wander around and, you know, pick up a thing, and it doesn't matter how fast or slow you go, really. With Pac-Man, it's all about, like, ghost, crap. And so are you going to be, like, running around the streets, not paying attention to where you're going in a slightly panicked way, do you think?
That would be a hilarious way of doing it. I sincerely doubt that's how they're doing it. I'm sure it'll be more like, I don't know, like geocaching, where you just got to go to a certain place and follow certain coordinates and that kind of thing. But as you go, you pick up pellets. And I'm sure there'll be ghosts and you'll have like a power up. You're like, oh, I use a power pellet now and then I can...
They're there.
Upgrade. And then you can turn around and eat ghosts if any are following you, I guess.
Because the screenshot has got a ghost following your Pac-Man avatar. And I don't know if it's going to be in any way fun or cool. That ghost is going to have to be pursuing you at some speed. So... I want the, like, because they did those jogging apps at one point where you were being pursued by ghosts, not ghosts, by the undead zombies. Yeah. And that was a similar principle. I'm like, you know, when you reach certain locations, the zombies would suddenly in your ears and the radio would go quickly behind you. And it would be encouraging you to like zip about on streets. But that was an in-ear only experience. So you could still use your eyes. Whereas this, I don't know. I look forward to our first... accident.
We will
by...
see. I'm looking forward to all the rest of, because it's like Pac-Man's 35th anniversary or something, or it has been recently.
Oh, it as well.
That's why all this is sort of kicking off. And if you want to support a nice independent musician, check out the Pac-Man is Naked and So Should You EP, which is currently kickstarting.
Is this you?
By no. Okay. It's a synth punk musician called Worm Quartet.
Okay.
Who did a song called Pac-Man is Naked and So Should You, where he basically just screams about nonsense over the Pac-Man theme.
Splendid.
And was included in the Smithsonian exhibit for Pac-Man's 35th anniversary for some reason. And now he's like recorded a song for that and is kickstarting the vinyl release for it. And the vinyl looks super cool. Because as you could imagine,
it's a big yellow thing. Yeah.
It's a big yellow circle, but then it's got the gap in the middle. So it looks like it's Pac-Man with his mouth open. It's super cool.
Very good. So 35th. So Pac-Man and like Mario happened at the same time then? Because it's the 30th.
Yeah, I guess. I was looking at the Pac-Man Wikipedia to find out what the pellets are called.
yeah, Bandai had it at the same point as Nintendo's doing its big Mario stuff, which you've just started downloading, haven't you? I was talking to Matt Ford last week, of course, about the Mario All-Stars 3D business, and I understand yours has just started downloading in the background,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Pac-Man's actually 40 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, Just out of nowhere, I got an email saying, hey, we're taking your payment for that Mario game. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's why my internet's suddenly going slow. Ran over to the Switch to cancel the download. I'm very excited.
Are you excited? Yeah, you are. I thought you would be. Are you a Sunshine boy? Do you like Sunshine?
I'm a Sunshine boy. I absolutely love Sunshine.
Okay. It's kind of the black sheep of the family, isn't it, Sunshine? People seem to
I mean, a lot of the GameCube games, we could talk about GameCube for a long time. It's my favorite console ever. But yeah, it's that era of real weird experimentation that Nintendo did where it's like, let's get all our big franchises and then just whack loads of weird stuff on them. So Metroid went first person and Luigi got his own game with a vacuum cleaner and you know, Pikmin. It all just kind of went weird, and Super Mario Sunshine I think gets a bit of a rough ride because it focuses too much on Flood and the water mechanics, but I actually think it makes for a really fun and interesting game, and I love the story and I love the artwork and everything like that, so I'm very excited to play that again.
Extremely on board. Good. I say again, I've been enjoying, in the same way that like Paradise Killer last week came out, and it's just a game and a few people I know who were involved with it, and it just got all this love. It's a very small game, but got all this love out of nowhere, and I was like, I'm really enjoying this. Like just sitting near it and seeing it play out is kind of really nice in a world of terrible things. It's like, oh, look, nice things are happening. Isn't this great? And in the same way as this, like, I don't feel the same Mario love as everybody else does, but I see people I like getting very excited. I'm like, oh, that is good. This is nice.
I bought Paradise Killer, but I haven't played it yet.
Is you? Oh, yeah.
I've heard, but obviously I keep hearing all the great things about it, and it looks a little bit Ace Attorney, a little bit.
It looks like exactly your jam, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, visual novel, you know, that particular aesthetic and everything, and it's a bit weird, a bit horror as well. So, yeah. Ooh. Lots of nice stuff going on. But yes, Pac-Man Geo, apparently coming out later this year. November the 30th is the date they've given us. So, free to play, in-app purchase, of course. Get chased by a ghost on the road. Please don't die. Out and about this week. We'll start with the one you want to talk about. So, World's End Club. This came out the tail end of last week, I think, but we didn't have access at the time. Now we do, and you've done a bit of a play. And what is this?
So, it's the new Apple Arcade game. It is from the creators of 999, Virtue/Reward, the whole Zero Escape trilogy, and Danganronpa. Have come together with their new studio, which is Tokyo Games, or sometimes for some reason they're going by Izanagi Games. Anyway, we get bogged down in names forever. It's very much very similar to Danganronpa in the sense that it's a school bus full of like 11-year-olds witness Tokyo get hit by something and just like obliterated. Okay. They are then trapped in an underwater theme park by an evil, crazy robot thing. Everybody's given a wrist thing, and they all have to like find out. But the wrist has a task for each person, but your task is on someone else's wristband, so your characters have to go and find their tasks on other people's wristbands, and there's no rules against killing, so, you know, go out there and start murdering all your 11-year-old friends and find out what's going on there.
Okay.
And then it does a massive 180 on all of this, because that segment takes about 20 minutes, and then it just stops being that game completely.
I was going to ask, because I'm looking at it, and it looks like a platformer.
It is a platformer, and that's the weird thing.
Oh, okay.
So you sort of are introduced to the platform mechanics by doing this whole running around and solving this puzzle, and the typical sort of visual novel Danganronpa, how do you prevent everybody from going mad and killing each other kind of thing.
Hmm.
But, like, it then just sort of gets bored of that almost. You clear that stage, the robot's like, oh, hey, it's time for round two. And someone just blows up the robot and says, we're leaving. And then it becomes a game of like, it's like a puzzle platformer pretty much. 2.5D graphics style thing.
Yeah.
You're sort of roaming the world after what seems like an apocalypse, trying to work out what's going on. You're trying to make your way back to Tokyo so you can find your parents and work out, you know, what's happened and maybe save the world kind of thing. I don't know if you can save the world. Everybody seems to be dead. You climb up things, you move boxes around to climb up more things, you can pick up objects and throw them. And then each of the characters, so there's a cast of 11 or 12 characters, and each of them starts like unlocking a new super ability within themselves whenever they experience great stress. So the first character suddenly learns that they can like throw rocks at 200 miles an hour. Another character realizes they can turn themselves into stone. I don't know how that's going to come in handy, but it will at some point, I'm sure. And everybody starts unlocking these things. And it's really weird because you get sucked into this whole, oh, it's just like Danganronpa. This is pretty good. It's well written. I'm enjoying it a great deal. And then it just like changes. It's like, oh, okay, this is a completely different game. And I'm still super into the setting and everything. And I've been gradually brought into this world. But now I have to go through and play an actual completely different game. And it's fun to see the Danganronpa and Zero Escape creators make something that is so obviously them and then sort of go, yeah, but we're not actually doing that, ha ha ha, kind of thing.
Given their pedigree and what they do, like clearly this started off being a familiar route for them. Can they do the platforming thing well?
Yes. Yeah, the platforming works. The actual controls, so it's, you know, it's touchscreen controls. You hold your thumb down and swipe left or right to go left or right. And then when you reach a platform you need to jump, you climb up, you just swipe up. But you can do that while your thumb is still in sort of the move right position. So you're not just like move right, swipe up, move right, swipe up. It's very continuous and feels really good. All the buttons are context sensitive and they don't take up too much of the screen. So when you'll wander over something and it'll say, oh, you can press and you can pick something up. The storyline is really interesting. I really want to see where it goes. Problem with it is that the creators have already done interviews where they said this game is not finished. The Apple Arcade version does end on a cliffhanger, and it will not be the storyline will not be completed until early 2021 when they release the full version on Switch.
Yeah, cause I saw it's coming to Switch as well.
Yeah, it'll get an update on Apple Arcade with the final sort of few chapters. So I've stopped playing it
Because you don't want the cliffhanger.
Yeah, I don't want to get to the cliffhanger and then like have to wait 6 months before the game actually finishes. And I think that's the problem I'm having with Apple Arcade in general, because this has happened a few times with other games. Like Shantae, the platformer that was like a launch title, mm-hmm. that launched unfinished. It was only sort of part one, and then they've added part two later, or they're working on adding part two later. I know Oceanhorn 2 is getting a load of DLC, but it feels like, you know, that could have been there at the start. I imagine people are sort of trying to hit these deadlines for Apple Arcade, and are therefore like cutting content and saying, okay, well, we know we're going to launch on another platform later. Let's hold that back and say, oh, we've got the complete edition launching on this platform, and we'll update on Apple Arcade.
It's tricky because sometimes episodic content is intentioned that way. It's supposed to be. You take something like Life is Strange, where it's very deliberately chosen, that telltale formula of like, we're going to do 5 chapters. But even with that stuff, I'm kind of with you in so much as I would always wait until all chapters were out and then I would play it, because I want to know that if I want to, I can play the whole thing in one sitting. Or, I mean, I never do that, but I like knowing it's all there. And I'm not going to get to a point, and then, especially with the erratic release schedule of some of these things, when it's like, hey, there's 8 months gap suddenly between chapters 4 and 5. And you're like, you get to chapter, you know, 5, and you're like, what the hell happened? What decisions did I make? And you lose touch with what's going on. So I kind of feel you with this.
But I don't think it was designed as an episodic game, and that, I think, is the problem. Is it just, you're going to get to a point where it just goes, hey, come back in a few months when the game's done. And like, I'm not super jazzed about that.
I suppose on the upside, you have the Apple Arcade thing where, like, it's there anyway. You haven't bought it and then got sudden buyer's remorse when you realize you're going to get shortchanged by the ending or something. So if you don't mind that, you can go and play it right now. If you want to wait and hold on till next year when the Switch version appears, then spring 2021 is the date, and I'm sure you'll get the update on Apple Arcade and you can carry on. So World's End Club is the name of that one. Slightly more lo-fi, new release. Something we've both played, Crux, a climbing game.
Mm.
I did a video for this yesterday. I think this is quite good.
I quite like it as well. I think it's really interesting mechanically, but do say more because I've spoken quite a lot.
I mean, no, it's like a very low-key co-op with climbing in it, and I think it handles it all rather nicely. So, long story short, you take control of someone who's doing like rock climbing, but it's like climbing on a wall, like an interior rock face. I can't remember what you call it. But they're doing that. So instead of like grabbing onto cliff edges, you've got those rocky-shaped points that you know, like pegs, if you like, attached to the wall, and you're scaling those. And of course, the wall's not covered with them. There is a path of pegs that you have to navigate in order to go up. And so basically, like with real rock climbing, you're looking for positions for your hands and your feet. And I speak of them as two separate entities because that's the way the game treats the controls. So one side of the screen controls the upper body, so you move your arms left and right and up. And the other side controls your legs and where they go. And so this is the quop thing where each, you know, not every single limb, so it's not four controls, but top and bottom are divided into two separate controls. And you have to work together. Your thumbs have to combine to work out right. And you need to do legs first and then hands, then the legs, then hand up, then leg up quick. And I say quick because once you get past the tutorial, the little pegs that you're grabbing onto have a limited lifespan. So you see a little clock tick down and you hold onto it for longer than a second. Boom, it disappears and you fall down and smash onto the floor. So you're having to do it all under pressure at speed and choose the exact right lines to move. And I found this very like quick and easy to pick up and get. Also quite challenging quite quickly in a way that was satisfying. In a way that even when I kept falling down at certain points, I was like, there is a way. There is definitely a way. It's almost like just a grid-based puzzler in some regards, more than it is a platformer.
Yeah.
Because you're like, but timing is very much of the essence. You can't sit there and think about what you're doing. There are certain points along the route when you get to larger routes where the black dots have a white dot in the middle of them, and those will not dissolve. They won't disappear. So you can stop. They also act as save points. And you can stop and hang and think and then carry on, so they get broken up. But no, it can be quite challenging and quite hard in your throat at times, I thought.
Yeah, it's this really interesting way of sort of thinking about moving through a space in that way, is that having to think like, okay, well, my hands can go there, but my legs, there's a peg there, so I need to sort of position sideways and start like twisting. Yeah. You have to start twisting your body around in weird ways to try and get to everywhere. And I think, you know, the initial stages, I think, are a bit slow. it could have done with maybe just like smaller stages at the very beginning, because you pick up the mechanics really quickly.
Yeah.
But then you're sort of like slowly traversing through these things, and like you say, like as you progress, it becomes time limited, and you need to actually think and do very quickly. But at the beginning, you can take your time, and it's like, I don't really understand why I'm slowly moving, and so on and so forth. It's got a nice sort of low poly art style, which I'm into.
Very simple, but the animation's lovely. Like the movement of your avatar, Lassie, she's like, especially when she gets the leg up to shoulder level and stuff like that, the first time they do that, like, oh, this is actually really good.
Mm.
And whenever she completes, she climbs onto the top of the thing, swings a leg over, and kind of sits down. You're like, nice, completion. Yeah. I approve. So, really nicely done. I don't know how they're monetizing this. It's free. And I didn't hit anything ads-wise or anything like that.
I didn't hit any ads. I didn't play as long as it sounds like you did. So, yeah, I have no idea how they're making money from this. But
maybe there's a little later you can pay and unlock more. But, sure. I mean, yeah. I played through about like 15, 20 levels of it. And no, I didn't hit any walls. But certainly, go give this one a look. Crux, C-R-U-X, colon, a climbing game. It's both iOS and Android, if you're interested. Something else we both played. Paco Caravan, latest installment of the Paco series. Paco's been running quietly in the background for 4 years or more or something.
Yeah, it feels like it's been around forever, but 4 years I think is right.
We've had Paco, we've had Paco 2, and it's evolved slightly along the way, where initially it's a kind of racing slash destruction game where you're trying to avoid, one of them is just being chased by the police the whole time, so it's like a getaway chaser. But the presentation is really nice, pastel coloured, again, low poly, isometric-ish view, and the acceleration is automatic, you're always accelerating, and you're just tapping left or right at the hand of the screen to control your little car. And one of the games, you're leading the police on a merry goose chase and basically trying to stay alive as long as humanly possible by getting them to crash into things. There's almost like an invisible rubber band connected, and you can really, you know, by turning in the right places, have them swing around and skid and then smash into things. It's very satisfying. They've just mixed up the formula ever so slightly in between. This one is the biggest departure, it feels like, because they've decided to do Paco mixed with Snake.
Yes. It's excellent. I love it.
It's good, isn't it?
You've got your little car, and then it starts driving, and you go left and right, and then there's little pickups that sort of randomly change numbers, and whichever number you hit it on, that's how many cars get added to your Snake trail or caravan,
your conga.
As it is. Yeah. And then you're sort of fishtailing around like car parks and stuff, trying to pick up more of these whilst also not crashing into yourself, not crashing into just tons of stuff that's in the way. It's really hard, I thought.
Yeah, it is.
It's because like the controls are so like handles like a shopping cart, but that actually makes it a lot of fun because, you know, you're just sliding around everywhere trying not to die. And there's objectives to do as well. So like hit certain number of traffic cones in the thing, collect the right number of collect all the letters of caravan which are hidden around the place and all this kind of stuff, and get a certain number of cars in your caravan, and then you unlock a new level once you hit a number of stars. So it's got a nice little progression arc to it. Initially, I had problems where I was putting my thumb too far off the screen.
I was doing that. I did that exact thing because it's played in portrait mode, not landscape. And traditionally, these things are played in landscape. So portrait, you're suddenly having to do the left and right, and your thumbs are, you know, considerably closer together than perhaps they're used to.
Yeah.
And I was doing the exact same thing, instinctively, just like edging my thumb off the edge of the screen,
exactly,
and wondering why I wasn't turning.
It's like, why am I not spinning right? But I'm spinning left so fine. And yeah, so watch out for that if you do play it. But I think it's really fun. The ads can get a little bit annoying.
This is my downside. Very aggressive with the old ads they are. Everything from the pop-ups that appear at the top of the screen, just the little silver bars that appear sometimes, to, you know, whenever a level ends, having an advert flash in somewhere. A lot.
Yeah.
Like, too much. This is my major gripe.
It's probably like every two goes or something, I was getting a full screen video ad that you can't escape from, kind of thing. Get it. People got to make money, but it's just a little bit too much.
This is one of those ones where I think, like, oh, it's a shame. I know why you're doing it, and I'm sure, like, trying to encourage someone to buy this might be difficult, like, upfront. And so this is the only way to make the money, and it's the only way the game can exist, perhaps. And if they just tried to do a premium version, it would just tank and it wouldn't work. Not enough people get. So I get it. But I would really like to play this without the ads, please, because it's nice and what's sitting underneath it is really good and fun. And like you say, when you get up to 125 cars, like in your procession attached to the back of your car, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because the maps are quite small and floating in space. So you can just off the edge of them, which happens a lot at the beginning. No, fun, really good, inventive. The whole Paku series, I think, is good. You can check out all of them. So I think maybe the first one might be premium and the rest of them are free to play, but they all work slightly differently. They're all good. I just wish, yeah, fewer ads, too many ads for me for this one. But have a look anyway. Paku Caravan's the name of that. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. So on the first Launchpad show that we did, I covered something called Olo Loco, which was kind of like Shuffleboard. In so much as, you know, it's a two-player game, ideally. So you've got your little collection of discs, I guess, coloured discs, and you're trying to push them into your opponent's area, your opponent's zone. So each of your zones are colour-coded. So say you're orange, my opponent is blue. I will have some blue discs, and the idea is I want to push my blue discs into their blue zone. And then when it's their turn, they're going to be like, right, I'm going to use my disc, my orange disc, to smash your blue disc out my zone and also get an orange one in your zone. How'd you like that? In the UK, we have a game called Bowls, which is sort of similar to this, only this is all flat, slidey discs. A mixture of that and air hockey. This is what this is. And I've only been able to play this with myself, which is the saddest thing in the world, because I played it on the stream and I was having to demonstrate both sides. But super simple, incredibly slick presentation, and it plays great. Yep. Like the slidey mechanics, the feeling of the air hockey of it all, of you going wah, and you go ding, 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 and bouncing off of discs and things and trying to judge your swipe so, you know, you want it to crawl just over the end, so you're being really specific and gentle with it. I really like it. I haven't done multiplayer though.
I haven't. No, it's a premium game. It's like $3.99, $2.99.
Oh, of course. I played the test flight version.
Yeah, so I've, right. I've not had a go on it. It sounds really nice, but yeah, definitely something that you need a second person for.
Yeah, but it's a great local multiplayer thing, whether you're doing it on a phone or an iPad or whatever. Genuinely, it feels great, and I'm sure even better with other people. So Olo Loco, two different words. That's the name of that one. You did Golf Odyssey, didn't you?
Very quickly. Pixel art, golf game, portrait mode, you point and fire, and you've got two balls to get into the hole. So you're two hits, rather. So it's very tricky. You know, you've got to get your power right. You've only got sort of like a small, it shows you the amount of power and the direction that you're sort of pinging it off from, but you don't really know where it's going to end up.
I assume Angry Bird style push and drag.
Yes,
and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it sort of pings off and you pray to God that it goes arcs up and goes down into the hole. And then you move on to the next level and you've got to do a string of 20 to get to sort of the end point.
Right.
If you fail a level beyond the first level, you get the option to watch an ad for an extra swing or watch an ad to just redo the whole thing, or you just have to start all over again from the very beginning of the course. It's really, 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 really hard. I didn't get past the second hole. I could do the first one just about, and then the second one was basically the same, but a little bit further away, and I just could never work it out. And it's got steps next to the holes. So the hole's like in a raised section. You land on the steps, and it just rolls down and falls away. It's super hard, but I imagine if you get into it, it's quite nice.
The look reminds me of, do you remember that golf game that came out a few years ago that everyone got dialed into for a few months? It was like Infinite Golf, or I forget what it was called, but there was it looks exactly like this, and the idea was you just keep going and going and going and going and going.
Desert Golf or something.
Well, if you can do any better than level 2, Golf Odyssey is the name of that one. That's both iOS and Android 2.
And it's
quickly
free.
Before we talk about, and it's free, yes, before we talk about the last one, The Unfinished Swan turned up on iOS.
Yeah.
Proper blast from the past, this. So this was a game that appeared like part of that. I can't remember if it was PlayStation Indies or it appeared on both platforms, but it was one of those games that turned up on, 2014? PS3 era?
I think so.
Yeah, and it is a first-person explorative, story-driven game. Basically, but the mechanics are often you're wandering around throwing paint at things. For the most part. So like you're presented with an entirely white room and you can't see anything. You start throwing paint and you realize the paint hits objects and colorizes them. You're like, oh, there's stuff in here. And you kind of build a world that way. Very painterly, very pretty. And it's got little puzzle bits that aren't especially hard, really. But it's more about going around, discovery, telling the story. And of course, it's a story of a young boy lost in a world or something. Standard fairy tale business. And it was quite good. People broadly liked it. I think it's one of those 7/8 out of 10 games. Well, it's just popped up.
Giant Sparrow, who then went on to do What Remains of Edith Finch.
Very good, that
which
one.
Which is excellent.
Yes, we liked Edith Finch's love.
And so I think this is part of like their publishing deal with Annapurna, who we've spoken about quite a lot. Mm. And they've now published it on PC and mobile because Annapurna loves mobile, which I still am hugely in love with. I don't know why they're good, super into mobile, but I guess they just decided, right, there's still a premium market and we're going to hammer it. Just every,
well, I think when
every Annapurna game pretty much always comes to mobile at some point. It's like, yes.
Florence probably won a BAFTA or something, so I guess that would have helped as part of like, oh, mobile. Let's do stuff on mobile.
And Gorogoa, I think, won awards.
Yeah, that was great.
Sayonara Wild Hearts won many, many awards. Like, it's nice that there's still a publisher out there that sees a market for really, really high-quality premium mobile games that can launch on other platforms but still work on mobile. Unfinished Swan, I played a bit of it. I didn't get super into it, but I like, mechanically it's really interesting, and storyline and everything. Giant Sparrow know what they're doing when they're telling a story, so it's super interesting in that sort of way, and it's good to have it on mobile.
It is, and it's cheaper too, so it's like a tenner on PC, but it's £5, £4, actually £9 on iOS at the minute. That will bump up to £11 afterwards, so if you know you want to get it, maybe get it sooner rather than later. But yeah, Unfinished Swan currently available. Now, last thing I want to talk about is something I haven't played, but you maybe have. Murderous Pursuits.
Yes.
Welcome aboard a Victorian-style time-traveling airship. Good start. What's this all about?
Okay, so a bit of history. Do you remember the game The Ship in like 2012 or something?
No.
Do you remember Assassin's Creed Brotherhood introduced multiplayer? And it was, you wander around, assassinate people. So, the developer, so Ubisoft obviously developed that, but they kind of got the idea and I think either hired or acquired the studio that made The Ship, which is a game in which you are on a ship in the 1920s/30s, and you are given a person to kill, and another person is given you to kill, and you sort of have to stealthily walk around the ship, integrate yourself with the bots and the AI and stuff that are there, try not to raise suspicion about yourself.
Act like an NPC.
Act like an NPC, and then turn around with a gun and shoot them in the back. And then run and hide so that nobody finds you, the police don't catch you and throw you in the brig, and all this kind of stuff. And then that got adapted into the Assassin's Creed multiplayer, which is a lot like what Murderous Pursuits is. So if you know that, that whole thing of like, there's loads of NPCs around that all look like you, so you can just walk into groups of them and blend in. And there's lots of different like power-ups that you can use throughout and all that kind of stuff. That's still there. And the developer of this is Blaze and Griffin, who have kind of been basically doing this game again and again for the last decade at this point. So they made like... there was a weird Hollywood-themed one on Xbox Live Arcade in, like, 2013. They did a remake of The Ship called The Ship Remastered in, like, 2015. They did one for Apple Arcade, actually. I think it was a launch title. I can't remember what it was called, but another very similar one. And then they've done Murderous Pursuits, which was a PC game initially, and has now been published by NetEase, who are also well known for their asymmetric murder games, because they do Dead by Daylight Mobile and their China-only Tom and Jerry game, which is basically Dead by Daylight, but with Tom and Jerry, and in 2D.
I've not heard of that one.
Oh, cool. It's really weird, but massively big in China. And this is, finally, to get around to it, basically a mobile version of that. So it's you're given a character, you enter a world, so it's like, as you say, Victorian era steamboat kind of
steampunky, almost
that kind of style, and you just kind of have to, you don't have a sprint button anymore, which used to be in the old games and kind of made things way easier, because as soon as you see someone sprinting, that's probably a player and probably also the person you're destined to kill. And instead, it's like very slow moving. You're just sort of pacing along. You have to keep going into ducking into the like NPC areas, because if you don't, a little meter fills up and then everybody knows who you are. So like an icon appears above your head saying, this is the person who's hunting
Rumbled.
You. And then, you just sort of keep wander around. And then once you find your quarry, as they're called, you press a button, you kill them, or they press a button and stun you and manage to run away. And yeah, it's just that sort of thing. If you've played this kind of game before, this is just it, but on mobile. It's really nice, actually. I quite like it.
Feels all right.
It plays really nicely. I wasn't sure how it was going to work with like swiping around and moving the camera and stuff and buttons and that kind of thing. But actually, there's not too many buttons to press. The actual movement feels good. I didn't get into a game with real players, but the bots are very stupid, so I won quite easily with that. The tutorial is really in-depth, tells you everything you need to know. I guess the thing... it's really fun, it's really interesting. Obviously, it's free to play, so there's a lot of that going on. But it's all sort of microtransactions in terms of you can buy new weapons. So instead of picking up weapons to kill people with, which I always loved in the ship, you just have a kill button. As soon as you're close to the person you're going to kill, you just press a button and they die. But you can unlock new animations and weapons to do that with. So the very first thing you get once completed the tutorial is a giant hammer, which is, funny.
And then cosmetic comedy execution.
Exactly. And then the cosmetics for your skin, for your character skins as well, and all this kind of stuff. And there's all different ways to unlock it. So there's a quest system that you get at the very beginning. There's golden keys to unlock to open chests. There's currency that you can just buy stuff with, and all this kind of stuff. If you can sort of live with that, there's a very good and very interesting game within it. It's been done a lot before, but it's been done a lot by Blazing Griffin, because this is kind of their thing. With NetEase, they're handling all the mobile side of stuff. I think, this is a partnership that works really well together, and the game actually plays really nicely. And I definitely think it could be big. It could be really good. Obviously, it just needs player numbers to make sure it's active and has a good community. Do play it. I would highly recommend.
Okay. Well, Murderous Pursuits, name of that one. I'll take a look at that. That looks like fun. No one plans a murder out loud. I don't know.
I will say some of the text in it is really dodgy. In terms of it's not. It doesn't seem to have been checked over and edited. So I'm wondering how much of that was just sort of rushed towards the end. You could just do with some just light copy editing just to make sure everything's a little bit clearer.
So many games like that where it's clearly this could have just done with one more pass. And I say that who's a person who's probably published hundreds of articles where I go back and read them and go, oh, there's something obviously wrong there that I didn't catch. So it's so easy to do. But yeah, maybe just another quick pass on that one. But yes, all right then. Murderous Pursuits is the name of that. And I think... that'll do for this week.
Oh, quickly.
We made it to the end.
We'll quickly mention Company of Heroes, because that is a big release this week.
That's true. I haven't played it. We covered that it was going to be coming for a while, but this is the strategy version of the franchise, right? Isn't it? So this is your top-down planning them wars.
Is it?
Right?
No.
I thought that's what it was.
No, Company of Heroes is a decade-old RTS now from Relic, who made the Warhammer Dawn of War series.
All right. Top down, planning your wars.
We don't really plan it because it's real time. So, it's more grab your units and then send them off to battle right now in small things. I've not played.
We're splitting hairs.
I've not played the mobile version, but the PC game is amazing. So,
I know people were getting excited.
It's Feral Interactive who've done the port, and they did Rome Total War and all that kind of stuff.
Rome Total War, yeah, I was going
to
say.
So they know how to port a game to mobile and still keep it intact. So yeah, worth checking out. But it is, I believe, £13 or dollars, possibly a little bit more.
Yes, $13.99. Well, it's already getting big love on the platforms. We haven't played it yet, but I'm just looking at reviews in very good. And yeah, so if anyone can convert this, they did a pretty good job with bringing the, I'm not going to say mess, but the sheer volume of stuff you have to deal with in games like Rome Total War and making that work on an iPad in a way that didn't feel terrible. They did it really well. So if they've managed to do that with this, which by the reviews looks like they have, this is exciting for war type folks. Company Heroes, that's £14 or dollars, iOS and Android as well right now. Okay. That'll do then. Well reminded, Rick. We will not be here, as I say, next week. But do, if you are a member of the Pocket Gamer Connects Digital Helsinki show, if you've signed up for a ticket, if you're on a panel or anything like that, come and speak to us, because we can do appointments. We're chatting digitally anyway. And of course, we'll be attending your talks, and I'll probably be encouraging you onto a virtual stage at some point. And where is he? Where's he gone? I can't find him anyway. He hasn't signed in. That's my
good times.
Exactly. But we will come back to you after next week, weary but hopefully wiser, 2% more traumatized. In the meantime, go play games, have a very good time, look after yourselves, and we'll catch you then. Bye-bye.